Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, My handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were filled full, she said unto her son, Bring me thy vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God and said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Father, bless to our hearts now the consideration of truth from your word. We'll love you for the results in Christ's name. Amen. Now, first of all, verse 1. We have here a widow. We also see that this widow is in poverty. She's bankrupt. She's in debt. We also see that her sons are in danger of being taken in by the creditors for payment. So she is in distress. She's a widow. She has debts that she can't pay. And she has creditors at the door, threatening to take what she has, namely her two sons. This is a picture of every lost child of Adam. You have nobody. You say, I have a husband. Not long. I have a wife. Not long, as you think. You came into this world without one, you'll leave without one, indicating you're going to be answerable for yourself. And then another thing, she's in debt, and so are you, so are we. And the debt is so high, we can't pay it, because what is required is that which we can't give, because God requires that which is past. So you can't start from the day and say, well, from this day on, it's going to be me and God. No, won't work. God requires your yesterday, your yester weeks, your yester months, your yester years. Not only does he require that which is past, but he requires every moment of the past, so much so that every idle word of the past that man shall speak, he shall give an account in the day of judgment. Now, who can render to God a perfect past? Who can render to God a perfect thought life? If you can't, you're in debt, and your debts are too heavy to pay. So what are you going to do? There's only one thing to do. Declare bankruptcy. Swallow your pride. Swallow your sinful pride. And say, Lord, my debts are too heavy. too heavy to pay. And then the Lord will say, ah, that's what I've been waiting to hear. You know, there were two miracles that the disciples could never do. And they're not obvious, as some may think. They could raise the dead. Elijah did that. Elisha did that. Peter did that. Paul did that. It wasn't that. And if most people would think about that at a glance, what is the greatest miracle? That's the one they would probably choose. But no. And that was reserved for believers only. But there were two miracles reserved for the Lord only: opening the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. No one else could do that, for good reason. No one can open your spiritual blind eyes. No one can open your spiritually deaf ears but the Lord. So he left those two for himself alone. And that's what encouraged John the Baptist. Take for a moment and look at Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John had become discouraged. Why am I still in prison? I'm the forerunner of the Lord. I'm the guy that said, behold the Lamb of God. I made the announcement. I was the one forecast in Isaiah 40, the one that should precede. I am his half cousin. Why am I still here? I am discouraged. And you would be too. He knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. And so he sent two of his disciples to question the Lord. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, had man wrote this book, he would have never said that about John the Baptist. No way. But man couldn't, man didn't. And man wouldn't. Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Right there. The two miracles no one else could do. If you didn't understand that, the blind received their sight. It's recorded in John 9 regarding the man born blind. Never has anyone opened the eyes of one born blind. It's never happened before, never since. Because it's symbolic of what the Lord will do for you if you're here today without Christ. You can see, but yet you're blind to spiritual things, to the spiritual realities of life and death, heaven and hell, spiritual truth. Tell John the things that you hear and see. Now, I like that, because you have to hear before you can see. And then he says, the blind receive their sight. This is where amazing grace comes in at. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. Now, if I call you a wretch, you say, that's not nice. But you sing you're a wretch and you don't want to accept it. That saved a wretch. A wretch means you are a wipeout. You are a total. You don't need a bump job. You need a total recall, a period. You're a finish. That saved a wretch. I once was blind, spiritually blind. Oh, I could see, but spiritually blind. And then he says, the lame walked. lepers cleansed. But then he put in this second one, the deaf hear. Those two are the miracles no one else before or since could do but him. And he still does them today. He can still open your deaf ears and blinded eyes to hear the gospel, to see the Lord Jesus for who he is, receive him as Lord and Savior, and leave this place, Curtis Gospel Chapel, a different way than you came in. All right, back to 2 Kings. So this woman was destitute. She had nothing. She had nothing. But you got to notice this. I think she was lost. And I'll show you why I say that. If you notice verse 1, and many times we miss things that are so clearly evident that indeed they have to be pointed out. Now there cried a certain woman. That could be a certain woman here crying out today or need to. Certain man here today crying out, needing what this woman received. But let me show you why I think she was lost. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant feared the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. That's her testimony to Elisha. Elisha wasn't buying that. He says, that your husband feared the Lord. That's not a testimony for you. I understand that. That's well and good. But you can't approach me or God based upon your husband's fear of the Lord. You got to come a little bit more close and searching than that. And many people miss that in verse 1. Many times as I've heard this, I didn't pick this up. I don't want to hear about what your husband, he's okay. Your husband feared the Lord? Fine. I know he feared the Lord. He said, thou knowest thy servant fear. I know about him. But what about you, lady? What about you? Verse 2. And Elisha went right for the jugular. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Not for your husband. What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? She said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. In other words, just a little pot of oil. Not knowing how significant that pot of oil could be if she trusted the prophet concerning the word of God. Let's continue. Verse 3. Then he said, go borrow thy vessels abroad, all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow, and not a few. Now, wait just a minute. If you think for 1 minute, I'm destitute, I'm a widow, the creditors are at the door to take away my sons, and you tell me, and I tell you, all I've got is this little pot of oil, and you're telling me to go, first of all, he says, go abroad. And to my neighbors. And then get empty vests and then borrow them? I'm not going to embarrass myself. You know, if the Lord would say to you right now, you can be saved. You can be saved right here, right now. If you're willing to admit that you're lost, if you're willing to admit that you're blind, if you're willing to admit that you're halt, if you're willing to admit that you're deaf, if you're willing to admit that you're broken and busted, if you're willing to admit that you have nothing I can use, and if you're willing to admit that to everybody in the area, I'm lost, I'm blind, I'm halt, I need to be saved. Are you willing to say that? Well, I'm not going to embarrass myself. Well, that's why you're not saved. I'll tell you that right now. That's the reason I don't want. You think I'm going to make a... Now, I'm not talking about what happened this weekend. And I can see you guys missed the rapture yesterday at 6 o'clock. I can see that right now. That's a good thing. You missed that rapture, not the one that counts. Oh boy, how people are easily taken in. I remember in 1994 when this same quack said that this would happen in August. Same thing, same fellow. And he said, and if it didn't happen, he said, I would sell this radio station, get out of the ministry. You think he did? You know he wouldn't. Obviously not. Follow the money. They interviewed a guy yesterday after 6 o'clock. 10 minutes earlier, he was telling them, the rapture is coming. They had him on tape. Are you sure? It's going to be at 6 o'clock in a few minutes. I'm leaving here. You can get on this boat. You can get on this train. You can get on this plane. However the Lord takes us up. Do it now before in 10 minutes you can be saved. 10 minutes after that, they said to that fellow, what happened? Did you miscalculate again? He didn't say a word. He just stuck his head, put his head down in his Bible. And here's a guy that gave up $150,000. Everything he had, banking on this Howard Camping being right. He should have banked on the word of God, not some man, you see. And you know what he'll do? He'll recalibrate again and get another estimate out there, and he'll sucker a lot of more people in. And all he's doing is bringing discredit to the cause of Christ. He's a heretic. He's a phony. He's a fraud. He's a fake. But look how many people that he has deceived because they don't know their Bibles. That's why. So I'm not talking about that embarrassment. I'm talking about what this woman was asked to do. Hey, you want to be out of debt? You want this weight off of you? Because they're coming to get your sons. The debt has to be paid. Now, who's going to pay it? They're going to pay it. We can put them in servitude until the year of Jubilee. What do you want to do? Well, she couldn't have that. She just lost her husband. She couldn't stand losing her boys. But, and this is another thing I like. She cried out to the right person. Almost missed that. She cried out to Elisha, someone that could help. So when you have a spiritual problem, don't go to a carnal or a lost man to solve spiritual problems. That's another issue. I've seen Christians asking lost people about answers to spiritual problems. Don't do that. Like, for instance, I hear it on the radio at the 6 o'clock, 2 hour broadcast we have. People were calling in, and I just asked the question, why do we know this man is wrong? Call me up and let me know. Well, the phones were flooded. So give me in 1 minute. Most of them quoted what the Lord said, no man knows the day or the hour. That part was right, but they were wrong by not explaining the rest of it. Neither the Son of Man, but my Father in heaven also. Well, it doesn't apply to now. He knows now. Absolutely he knows now. Is he God or not? And he limited himself when he was on earth. He was confined when he was on earth. That shows that he's God. The fact that he didn't know meant, since he's God, he chose not to know. You cannot choose not to know certain things. You cannot do that because you're not God. He can. It's like he said, I can remember your sins no more. Only God. I can remember. I can do what God can't do. I can remember my sin. He can't. Why? Because he's God. And he was God then. He could choose not to know that. So it proves just that. But no one said that. But the greatest statement he made concerning this, and not to be duped, when they asked him, give us a sign. He said, no sign shall be given except the sign of the prophet Jonas. Jonas was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the Son. In other words, the only sign now is the resurrection. Why? Because the church, we are a looking, and we are a listening people. We're listening for the shout, for the voice of the archangel. We're looking, listening for the rapture. Where Israel is looking for the man of sin. They're looking for a leader. They're looking for an earthly king. Still are. And the Lord Jesus said that in John 5:39. I've come in my Father's name, you receive me not. But if another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. Speaking of the Antichrist, the Lord said so. That's what they're looking for. We're looking for the upper taker. They're looking for the undertaker. We're looking up. They're looking around. What's going on? And their hearts are failing them for fear of things coming to pass on the earth. We're not caught up in that, or shouldn't be, except for this group yesterday. Now, go borrow the vessels abroad And notice this, of all thy neighbors, go from house to house. I need to borrow something. That's embarrassing, isn't it? That's embarrassing, isn't it? It's just as embarrassing on your job. If I would interview some people on your job and ask them the question, do you know that that gentleman there is a believer, that he's a Christian, that he loves the Lord? What kind of response would I get? What? If that man's a Christian, I am too. Have you heard some of the jokes he's told about women, about this, about that? If it's a surprise to other people in your family who you are in Christ, if it's a surprise to your neighbors who you are in Christ, if it's a surprise to people, your co-workers on your job, that you are a believer, it's probably a surprise to you. It'll be a surprise if you go up in the rapture. I'm very serious about that. This is what we're coming to here. Go abroad. Let me see if you're really interested in this thing. You're crying out to me. You want to be relieved of your debt. You want to be relieved of this stress and pressure you're going through in life. Let's see if you're willing to share this with other people. See if you're willing to tell it to everybody. Well, and then he said something else. Not only on your neighbors, but I want you to borrow something. Ooh, now that's another embarrassing thing. You know, I hate to borrow anything from anybody. But you know what they're saying, especially borrowing tools. You know, if you want to borrow tools, you see Danny. He loans out his tools to everybody. You see him, you know. But you can't loan out things to people. You might as well give it to them. Seriously, because you know you're not going to see it anymore. You know, I don't like borrowing. Because first of all, people think, man, can't you supply your own need? I hate borrowing. But what he's trying to do is get her so debased to understand that this is a poverty of soul and spirit. This is a spiritual war, saints, that's still alive and well today. And this is the kind of gospel that we're not hearing anymore. Sad to say. But you got to be lost to be found. You got to be blind to see. You got to be deaf to hear. You got to be dead to be made alive. And we need to hear this more often. Oh, we think sometime in these little places that we just need a little tune-up. No, you don't even need an overall. You need a total replacement, period. And God has to be the donor. You need a whole transfusion, and God must be the donor alone. Well, he makes it very difficult for him. That's what the Lord said to the rich man. Go sell all you have. He wasn't saying that you're going to be a pauper. No, you're going to be replaced. This is going to be replaced in heaven. You'll have greater and longer sustaining riches. But sell this temporal stuff. He went away sad. And maybe you'll go away sad too today, because you find out the price is high. What did it cost God? It cost God everything. But he paid it. And listen to this. And he paid it in full. The Bible says, he cried with a loud voice, one word, finish, meaning the debt is paid, and it's paid in full. And then John says, he did a curtsy in the face of death. He bowed his head. Let me tell you something, neighbor. When you die, you'll not be hollering. You'll not be crying in a loud voice. You'll not have enough intelligence left. You won't even probably know you're in this world. You'll leave here probably from a unconscious coma, but as far as having your total recall together like he did, that's why he said, no one takes my life. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again, meaning I'm in charge. He's the only one that was born to die, and he was the only one that died when he got ready. And he cried with a loud voice, finish! And then he bowed his head. Like when I was a kid and I gave a good speech, I bowed. He took a bow. No one bows in the face of death. No, your head goes to the side, you go limp, you go slump. But no one dies in the face of death. And he gave up the ghost. He dismissed his spirit when he got ready. You better trust somebody like that. And you better trust him now. Only trust him. Only trust. All right. And then he says something else. He says, borrow not a few. Just keep going from house to house. You know, we used to do that. We used to do that years ago. We used to, after service, we used to take tracts and go from house to house. You try to get Christians to do that now. I'm not going to embarrass myself. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what the preacher's supposed to do, not me. I'm telling you, this is where we've come. This is where we've come. Borrow not a few, verse 4. And then when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. Notice this now. When you come in, shut the door upon thy sons. And I'm going to show you how her sons got saved too. They weren't saved. Those boys weren't saved. And this is missed too in this. Follow it now. Follow me now. Shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all those vessels. Now the vessels are empty, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door, listen, upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. They went out with her. They believed as she believed. And that's why they received what she received. They didn't try to hang on mother's apron. No, no, no. They were listening too. And notice this also. Shut the door. Elisha didn't go in. I don't need to go in. The Lord is in there. He's the one that's going to do this miracle. I'm just a vessel myself. I'm just an empty vessel that God has filled myself. I want you to go in. Time and time again, the widow Nan's son, they laughed him to scorn when he said the little girl is just sleeping. And he put him out the house. And rightly so, put him out. He shut the door. And when that time came, come Noah, Noah your house. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, when they got in, the Lord shut the door. You can keep fooling around if you want to. And one day the Lord will shut the door on you. And you can holler, you can scream, you can beg, you can pray. You are through. Very much alive, very much still doing your thing, but spiritually dead towards God. Don't pass the appointed time. Don't play with God. My spirit will not always strive with man. Don't play with God. He plays for keeps. And as Dr. McGee says, the dice are loaded. They're going to come up against you every time. Go in! And notice this. You got to get this because, you know, these boys came in believing the same thing with their mother. They went and got the vessels. It tells you that very plainly. And pour out these vessels that you have set aside. So she went in, verse 5, and shut the door upon her and upon her son. That door was like a door of faith. I'm shutting us in. Elisha wasn't there. I don't need you anymore. We believe God now for ourselves, me and my boys. Shut the door. Got to see that. He wasn't there. He wasn't in there. Shut the door upon her and upon her boys who brought the vessels to her. Here they are, Ma. We heard what the prophet said. We believe too. We want to get in on this too. Daddy's faith is now our faith. We can stand on our own. We fear God too. He said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Ooh. Notice this now. She poured out into all of these vessels. God is able to save to the uttermost those who have come to him right by Christ Jesus. Yes, he can. He's able. He's willing. Are you? That's the only question. Are you? He's able. He's willing. Are you? And he he poured, they notice all these empty vessels. And he's the only one that can fill an empty vessel. But you got to come to him empty now. Nothing in my hands I bring, sentry to the cross I cling, naked come to you for dress, helpless look to you for rest, foul I to the fountain fly. Save me, Lord, else I'm going to die and go to hell. I'm dependent upon you and you alone. Thou must save, thou alone. He filled all these vessels. It's a beautiful picture that he's able to fill all who cry unto him, come unto him by Christ Jesus. Verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. See, they were together. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And they didn't lose a thing in that oil. Wow. That's not enough. Then she came and told the man of God. She had to tell him. He didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't have to know. He didn't have to know. This is the picture of the Lord Jesus healing the man's son. When the man went home, he inquired, what time did this take place? And it was at the exact time the Lord said, go home, your son is healed. He believed the Lord. He believed the Lord. This widow believed the Lord. Elisha was not in that room. Elisha knew what the Lord was going to do. Knew he was going to do. And trust me, if you take God at his word, we also know what the Lord will do in your life. We don't have to follow you up or down or around. What he says he will do. What he says he will do. Go. Now watch this. Now she's still in debt. She's still in debt. The creditors are still at the door. What she thought was minute, this little pot of oil. Oh no. You got all these vessels now full of oil. You're in the oil business. You're in the oil business. Now, look at this. Go and sell the oil. My, wouldn't you like to have all this oil in your house? Shell and Standard Oil would have nothing on you with it. They'd have to come to you for gas. It is right here. Go sell the oil. Pay your debt. Not only that, pay your debt, but and live thou and thy children of the rest. You see, if you're obedient, starting with you, parents, whoever you are, you know where you are. If God can just get a hold of you and cause you to do the right thing, never mind about him and them and what's at home, man, you don't know what's going on. I don't have to know. God knows. But he is trying to say to you, because you are here, right now, if I can just start with you. That man came to the Lord. He wanted to follow the Lord. He'd been out in the cemetery. His name was called Legion. And that guy, where's the closest cemetery? Grand Lawn. Now, if you heard somebody hollering, ah! Doors are closed, everything. Say, where's that sound coming from? You run outside, people again say, who's hollering? Where's it coming from? The cemetery? From the cemetery. That man has got those kind of lungs, we can hear him from here. He was keeping people up all day and night. He was energized by the devil. He was cutting himself. He wouldn't die. They put chains and fetters on him. They wouldn't hold him. He broke them asunder. But when he saw the Lord, made a difference. And when you see the Lord, it'll make a difference. When you really see him, not the preacher, I'm just a vessel. I'm just a crackpot. That's all. But I'm telling you about one who can fill your life with joy and peace like no one else can. And make your... Then the man, when he straightened the Lord out and they came and saw that man the next time, he was sitting... He was clothed in his right mind, which is to say, everybody outside of Christ, you're not in your right mind until you meet the Lord.
He was clothed in his right. He never wore clothes before. Man was running around a cemetery naked and crying and hollering and screaming. Oh, you think he would get laryngitis? Not him, because he was energized by the devil. And he told him when he met the Lord, "Who are you?" Many demons were set up in that man. They had taken residence in that man's life and heart and soul. The Lord called them out of that man, saw him clothed, sitting in his right mind, feasting at the Lord's feet. What a change! And my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. Same thing can happen to you. If he can do that for that man, what can he do for you? And then that man said, "Lord, oh my goodness, I want to follow you. I'm going to go where you are, wherever you go. I want to go." The Lord said, No. You have a wife and children at home. You have a husband, you have a wife, children, and parents at home. Go home. And you show what great things the Lord has done for you. Charity begins at home, not by going abroad with me. Go back home. Maybe the next go around we can talk about it. Mission. But you got a great mission at home. The last time you were at home, the dog ran from you. You kicked the dog every time you saw him. Go back to Fido, a different man. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what can happen to you. Go sell the oil. Pay the debt. That little pot. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. If you had just a grain of faith. You don't have to have my faith, their faith, our faith. Forget that. Start where you are. You had a mustard seed of faith. Something you can hardly see. But you place it in the right person, the Lord Jesus. If you would just start there. You could say to this mountain, "Be removed." Mountains that are at home, the debt that's at home, all the trouble with your kids and grandkids. Start there with you. I got you. Reminds me of the guy that was trying to save some special fish in the ocean that were dying, poisoned. Somebody had poisoned them. And he grabbed one of them, cleaned it up, and the guy said, "Wait a minute, you can't save all these fish." He said, "No, I can't save all these fish. But I saved that one." "I saved that one. This one, this one, this one. I saved that one. No, I can't save them all, but I saved this one." Is he trying to knock on your door? No, the world won't be saved, but how about you? Forget the world. You. Let's make it personal. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for me." And when you begin to see it like that, then it becomes personal, like it did with this poor widow. That he died for me. He gave his son for me. That he was buried for me. That he rose for me. And I want him to come for me. With that kind of attitude, God will save you. Father, we give thanks that you're still in the saving business. You're able to save, Lord, even in this place. Thou knowest. I don't know who is, who isn't, but thou knowest. And salvation is still of thee, O God. So grant it so that if there are those under sound of voice today, even one who is not sure that they're in the ark, you want them to be sure. You came for this purpose. You died for this purpose. You rose for this purpose, that they might know they have eternal life by trusting in your Son. Grant it so. Thank you for Curtis, and continue to bless as you have. And may their best days, months, and years be ahead. Grant it so. Dismiss us with your favor in Christ's name. Amen.